Very interesting UFO contact in Spain in 1978. The so-called Julio case. Much came forward in hypnosis. Translated from Swedish by Rune, not perfect. Hypnosis conducted by Senor José Luis Jordan Pena, who is a psychologist and head of the Spanish Paramilitary Psychological Society, Senorita Ana Mozo, a qualified hypnotist, and Drive Jesus Duran, a psychiatrist and specialist in clinical hypnosis. Not once was found contradiction in any of the statements Julio F. had during hypnosis. Each session to give refunds to more and more details about this fantastic experience. The first information about the case was the Madrid researcher José Luis Jordan Pena. When giving a talk on UFOs, he was met by a person in the audience, Manolo F., who told me about his brother's experience. They agreed to meet in a cafe in Madrid. Manolo had his brother with him, and his story made a deep impression on the psychologist. Intro slash summary, 30-year-old Julio Fernandez and his English pointer dog Mus were driving in his car to do some early morning hunting for hares. They were driving towards Soria province, Spain. At about 4:30 a.m. Julio stopped to drink coffee and anise at a wayside bar known as the Hostel 113, beside the highway on the outskirts of Algora. At 5:45 a.m. Julio left the bar and drove on, half an hour later passing Medicanally. Suddenly he knew that he had to be at a certain location 15 kilometers further on, and put his foot down on the accelerator. At this point his conscious recollection stopped. Later under hypnotic regression, Julio remembered driving his car when for no accountable reason he suddenly braked. From this point on the car seemed to act of its own accord, reversing, and then coming to a halt after having entered a narrow dirt trail backwards. Then the engine stopped, the lights went out, and the radio cassette player ceased to work. It was as though the electrical current had been completely severed, because the new battery no longer charged and the plugs no longer sparked properly. Mus started growling, so as a precaution Julio took his Winchester single barrel, semi-automatic shotgun out of the trunk and loaded it with its maximum of 5 carriages. It was then that he caught sight of two somewhat human-looking beings coming down the road. They halted only 1.5 meters from him. They wore seamless one-piece pastel green coveralls that reached to the feet and gave off a very faint luminosity. Their uniforms had neither zippers nor openings and gathered at the waists. The suits were sufficiently tight-fitting for their muscles to show. They wore pale yellow cowls or hoods, leaving only the face uncovered. The men were about 2 meters tall and had extremely broad shoulders, with powerful dorsal muscles showing prominently, narrow waists, and they seemed unusually athletic. Among features that set those apart from ordinary human beings were the exceptionally long arms and hands, large crania and very large eyes. Julio felt a sense of peace and calm envelop him. When they addressed him, he at first thought they were using speech, but later realized that their lips did not move, so he assumed they communicated telepathically with him. They asked him to calm down and to follow them. Julio obeyed, taking along his dog and the gun. Julio was then led to a huge mushroom-shaped craft that had been concealed behind two hills in the bottom of a small valley, though hovering 4 meters above the ground. It was shaped like an inverted soup plate, had a matte, silvery metallic color, and appeared to have a diameter of about 60 or 70 meters and a height of some 15 to 20 meters. Arriving underneath the central area of the craft, Julio noticed it had a completely smooth surface, as though molded in one piece, with no rivets or fittings. At this point he became aware of a powerful odor of pine, or possibly ozone, a smell also detectable on board. Julio's gun and knife levitated upwards into the craft. A smooth metallic cylinder then emerged silently from the center of the disc, stopping just above the ground. It was about 4 meters in height and 2.5 meters in diameter. A door, sliding upwards, opened in the descended cylinder's wall, revealing a small compartment lit by a strange white light coming from everywhere that Julio found disturbing. By now frightened, he hesitated before stepping through the door into the shaft. The dog refused to follow him, so Julio had to drag him in. What was now an interior elevator rose silently, stopping at an entrance to a corridor, where they alighted. Further along was another corridor, with two metallic doors, about 2.5 meters high. The whole appearance of the place was the most clinically aseptic. The walls were continuous with the ceiling, being joined by a gentle curve. Continuing along the circular passage, he came to a small ladder. The ladder looked like the steps of a swimming pool, with a very shiny finish and a cylindrical handrail. One of the beings led the way up, scaling the steps in two jumps with phenomenal agility. With some difficulty Julio followed, carrying the dog under his right arm and with the gun over his shoulder. He noticed the railing felt cold. At the top of the ladder was another individual who assured Julio that he had nothing to worry about. The flight deck was about 15 meters wide and 5 meters high. In the center stood a kind of console. It had some resemblance to an electronic organ. It was about 2.5 meters wide and had set metal footings with a transparent screen. The control table itself stood upon a circular platform. Elsewhere stood three smaller consoles set around the circumference of the room, in front of which were high conical seats. Also set close to the surrounding wall was a large square lead gray panel and a metallic rectangular table. Set around the dome at intervals of about 1.5 meters were rectangular windows made out of something like smoked glass. Meanwhile, his dog Mus had been around the flight deck, sniffing at everything, including at least one of the aliens, who reacted in a surprised manner. When Julio called out to his dog, the sound of its name evoked surprise among the entities. On asking where his hosts originated, Julio received an unintelligible mental response, including the expression 37, squared. The aliens indicated that they would like to examine his dog and take blood samples from him. Mus was carried to a rectangular table and blood from his paw was extracted using a fairly normal-looking syringe. The men then communicated to Julio that they wanted to examine him and placed him behind the screen on the rectangular table. After a few minutes, he was given to understand that was all to be required of him. But in subsequent recollections, which proved harder to recover and which clearly he found disturbing, Julio said that numerous samples had been extracted from him, including blood, semen, urine, spinal fluid, saliva, and gastric juices. He believed that two women, similar facially to the men, were also on board at the time. Julio was ordered to sit on one of the seats at the central console. Next to Julio sat one of the crew members who raised the left armrest and nimbly fingered several silvery buttons. The seat began to revolve along a track in the central console. Julio continued to sit beside the crew member, his dog and gun at his side. Suddenly, a brief, piercing whistle was heard, producing a slight commotion on the flight deck. The tallest of the three crew members quickly headed toward one of the consoles and all three studied the remote viewing screens in front of them. An image appeared of an older-looking man. The crew members began talking among themselves. The man on the screen seemed to be a superior and spoke first, and then the others conversed with him. The language sounded harsh to Julio, he described it as sounding like a mixture between German and Korean. They seemed to spit out the words as they were talking, and some of the sounds were like coughs. The image disappeared from the viewing screen and Julio found himself back in telepathic communication with his hosts. Hectic activity ensued, as crew members started desperately pushing buttons. The central platform began to rotate in a counterclockwise direction, halting when the control console came in line with what Julio assumed was a computer. Another whistling sound could be heard, from which point Julio seems to have passed out. After another whistle, Julio was awake again. The crew members showed interest in Julio's gun and, passing it around among themselves, asked him about its use. A heavy smoker, Julio lit a cigarette. The men asked if they might take one away for study and deposited it into the same cylinder. Soon Julio was escorted to the lift cylinder, the metal door rose and he was back outside, in bright sunlight. He staggered back to his car, where his dog awaited him, having run ahead. The car engine now worked, and he drove away without bothering to look back at the disc. Among the information imparted telepathically to Julio by the UFOnauts was that other, shorter beings were coming here who employed less ethical methods. These others, it was explained, are engaged in probing and programming the minds of those humans whom they have contacted or kidnapped. Julio Fernandez was killed in a car crash in 1992, coincidentally near the site where he claimed to have been abducted. Sources, Jane Thomas, UFO News Clipping Service, July 1979, p. 15, citing Chronica, May 22, 1979, David F. Webb and Ted Blocher, Humcat, Catalogue of Humanoid Reports, Case A1918, Thomas E. Bullard, UFO Abductions: The Measure of a Mystery, Case 143, citing FSR, February 1985, p. 4, Timothy Good, Unearthly Disclosure, pages 126-139. More, the details of the case. It all began on Sunday, February 3, 1978. Julio F. was then 30 years old, married and with a son 2 and a half of age. He had undergone a 3-year veterinary course, but his immediate interest was photography and electronics. He passes into the pattern we find in many kidnapping cases/witnesses. They are almost all young, healthy, with simple habits, without any absolute specialization, without education, without any strange inclinations. In other words, people with some form of pure living. Selected perhaps due to their character, properties? It is possible. Among white kidnappings, we find rarely politicians or priests. Exception, see the case, http://galactic.no/rune/botchacata3.html. Rather, they are simple people, who according to Professor James Harder, very often had an experience in childhood. Are they perhaps people who have been followed up since the first, forgotten, incident? Perhaps the idea of creating what the Dr. Leo Sprinkler called cosmic people. However, let us return to the Julioff case, here reported in present time. He has read a lot, to be informed about the outside world and humanity, but has never been drawn to parapsychological phenomenon or UFOs. He is a skilled athlete, alpinist and curious about the outside world. He has Taekwondo's black belt. But most of all, he prefers being out alone to hunt, along with his dog Mus, a purebred English pointer. To conclude this personal description, I can tell that he is tall, 1.75, strong, handsome, man with thick black beard and getting some bald-headed. Like so many who have had similar experiences, he is a restless husband, who does not stay in the same job. Insert picture, on the day in question, February 5, 1978. The hunting season had just begun and Julio had decided to go on his first hunting in an area west of Madrid near the town Casava in the province of Avila, where there were plenty of hares. He had slept badly during the night and got up at midnight. He took a light breakfast and came in his car at 4:30, with the dog. But instead of taking the road to Bodila del Monte, who had brought him directly to Casava, he set out in the opposite direction, towards the northeast and along the road to Barcelona province of Soria. Ufologist José Antonio Campana, who coordinated the entire investigation of the case and recorded all hypnosis sessions, asked Julio why he had not come to Casava. He replied that he did not know. It seemed as if a non-resisting impulse drove him in the opposite direction, towards Medinaceli in Soria province. Here, I would like to inform the reader that the psychological tests on Julio showed a higher IQ than normal, a very well-balanced personality, but traces of psychopathy. Julio has no mental defects. On the contrary, he is a very realistic person, objective, and above all, incapable of lying. This was the result of the psyche tests feeding of Jordan Penner, Picture, who in his daily work have made hundreds of similar tests and should know what he is talking about. And this also applies to Dr. Jesus Duran, who did not believe anything on UFOs until he met Julio. The incredible drive he drove away this cold, clear and cloud-free night in February 78, in the opposite direction to what he had planned the previous day. He drove at high speed and was talking to his dog, which sat beside him. He listened to a cassette with the Argentinian singer Jorge Cafrune. Later researchers found that some batches of this cassette has been deleted. Without doubt the cassette had been used to calm Julio, as the sound of sleeping or perhaps to give him instructions. We now come to the curious incident at the bar. At a certain time point Julio began to wonder if he accidentally already had passed through Maidenesley, and he began to look for road badges / signs. Since he realized that it was too early to begin the hunt, he decided to stop at a bar along the way and drink a coffee, which he used to when he goes hunting. So about 5:30, he was at the bar Hostel 113 in the side of the road just on the outskirts of Algora, near Guadalajara. The bar waiter was tall and light hairy. Julio said that he had a wig. He was wearing rubber gloves, which under Spanish law does not to be allowed for bar personnel. In the short time, about 20 minutes, he was in the bar, Julio noticed that nobody was there, or came in, while it normally should have been numerous trailer drivers, police and hunters there. Besides the barman's curious minds, no way seemed to behave as expected. And it was another thing to withdraw Julio's attention. He felt a strong smell of pine, which appeared from detergent used in the bar. Curiously Julio felt the same scent on board the craft later. Also the conversation with the waiter was strange. Although Julio was under hypnosis, he could not reproduce it. But they talked about hunting and the waiter became interested in his dogmas and insisted that Julio would go to a special place to hunt. Subsequent researchers interviewed the owner of the bar Hostel 113 and he told me that it never opened in front at 08:00 on Sunday and that he did not have a waiter who fits the description Julio. The phenomenon of a mysterious effect on the time will come in many close-eat cases. Julio left bar around 4:45 and it took him a further half hour to get to Maidenesley, which lies about 50 kilometers from there. He took into turning against Maidenesley. He listened to the cassette with Jorge Cafrune, and enjoyed the engine sound when he took the tight curves, a throw of nostalgia from the days when he used to run rally. He drove through Maidenesley at high speed and started the cassette again, for now he knew simply that he should go to a place 15 kilometers further on. He left the city and took on the road to Barcelona. So far Julio consciously remembers what happened. Everything that follows is told under hypnosis and it is certainly something to think about. As later confirmed by the investigation, Julio now entering a side road, hidden behind some bushes and continued for about 2 kilometers, in right angle to the main road. He still had good momentum. The car then stopped suddenly and started back down, towards the main road. He had then not traveled more than 100 meters on the road until the engine suddenly stopped, the lights extinguished and the radio fell silent, as if the electrical system would be damaged. The battery charged no longer worked, incredible, given that it was new. And the spark plugs no longer seemed to work as usual. This, later, came to cost Julio 15,000 pesetas in repairs. The cassette player worked afterwards, but as we previously mentioned, was much of the sound on the tape away. Julio thought to throw out the cartridge, but fortunately did not and therefore could later give it to the investigator. It should perhaps be explained that Julio could not unconsciously have erased the tape because the tape player in the car only was to play on. Even his wristwatch stopped and despite several watchmakers have sought to fix it and has never worked again and he was finally given up repairing it. It stopped at 06:40 in the morning. I must also mention that part of this hair-raising journey in the car, was followed by a bright light, and it seems that he conducted or led to a specific location. When the car finally stopped, Julio opened the door and walked out, now irritated because everything that had happened would spoil his hunting excursion. He thought the cause of the problems were the ignition system of the car and opened the hood to find the error. Now he discovered that the flashlight that he used was missing batteries. Suddenly Musk growled and moved between Julio and the road, to warn of danger. The hair on the dog stood up and the animal showed signs of rapidly increasing fear. Julio had never previously seen the dog react so strongly, and it scared him. His first thought was that could be wolves, because they were in desolate terrain and it was winter. He took up his gun and loaded with 5 cartridges, which he always carries in his pocket. He felt a little calmer and looked about to see if he could discover something. The dog still growled. The next moment Julio saw 2 human-like characters who were going on the road. He thinks they were about 80 feet away when he first saw them. Dawn was coming and the 2 individuals appeared to reflect the light. The closer they came, the more details could be discerned. Their clothes, green, gave a faint light. Their heads and shoulders were covered with yellow hoods, which left only the face visible. They were very tall men, with extremely broad shoulders, narrow waist, athletic build. Skull was enormous and their hands long and narrow, examined from Madrid later, when they did a reconstruction of Julio close, at the same time of day and year, and found that after having stayed there for 5 minutes the eyes had adjusted to the light and they could see at distances up to 70-80 meters, but without details. Without any signs continued the 2 men to approach and stopped finally only 1.5 meters from Julio. He recognized fear, rather surprised. He commanded the dog to not attack them. From the beginning he felt that it was alien beings, not of this world. He could not explain how. Their presence gave a sense of peace and calm. It was like to meet some that he knew long ago but not seen in many years. When they came up to Julio, they started talking to him. First he understood the conversation as verbal, but later he observed that their lips never moved. They said, "Take it easy, there is nothing to worry about. All we want is that you are friendly and come with us." Julio got the impression that their interest was mainly focused on the dog and that he would only comply with, as its leader. They assured him that it would be an interesting experience for him and that there was nothing to be afraid of and that they would come back. Julio underlines it did not sound as an order, but rather an invitation and a very hearty such. He believes that if he refused to follow them, they had not insisted, and so he accepted immediately, because he intuitively knew that they were friendly creatures, who did not wish him any ill. So he put the rifle on the shoulder and left down the road, with the 2 creatures on either side of Julio. Their appearance and behavior. Remember, all this info is out of hypnosis. The long men did an impression of good kindness. They made only a few gestures. They held their arms close to the body. Nothing affected their calm. Despite this, Julio discovered when he was inside the craft, that they performed their tasks quickly and safely. They appeared to be technically superior to humans, but not culturally. For example, Julio related that these creatures had no Beethoven. They were practical and forthright. They were interested in science-applied things. Perhaps they had no Beethoven, not because of some kind of imperfection, but that they passed this stage of development. When he analyzed them, he thought to see the future of man, how he will look for 1,000 years. They seemed half scientist and half military. They moved with great discipline, each engaged in their particular area, far more orderly than our astronauts. Their conduct was presented, but not too much. They all wore pastel green suits that reached to their feet. There seemed to be no zippers or openings, but at the waist, they were tight as a pullover. Overalls were sufficiently close that the muscles underneath to appear. The material in overalls resembled plastic in an anorak, but it was softer and more elastic. No fibers, threads or seams, synthesis. The material was soft, seen when they moved. Julio did not see their footwear, but assumed that they wore short boots in overalls. helmets, and gloves were pale yellow. They were made in a velvet-like material, very thin and well adapted to the body. Their hands had five fingers. They were like elite athletics. The men made a deep impression on Julio. They seemed to be very strong. Their shoulder width was disproportionate. The strong muscles seemed very clear. Their bodies were athletic built, as in elite athletics, they reminded him of American rugby players, both in length, approximately 2 meters, and appearance in general. A difference from us was the extremely long arms, which reached the knees. The incredibly long hands, thin and sensitive. The idea of a pianist hands. Their long slim fingers were impressive. Just tendons and muscles, but when you looked closer, it was no doubt that these men probably never had done any heavy work. Their nails were short, clean and normal. Your hands were so special, that they did not seem to belong the body. Their heads were also different from ours. The boiler, coverall was straight and high and finished in a high curve. One of the best traits of feature was a marked bulging above the eyes. Studies made later indicates that these beings' cranial was 10,000 cubic centimeters, while that of an average human is around 1,500 cubic centimeters. Julio could not see any eyebrows, traces of a beard or hair. According to the female biologist Dr. Mate Perez Alvarez, is the absence of hair a sign of advanced development? Creatures had been heavily developed parietal bone, the head was as a globe. You could not see any ears, because that part was covered with a hood. Regarding the eyes, Julio said that they were absolutely unforgettable as two major lights in the face. Eyelids was oblong, were not at an angle as in humans. Iris was twice as large as on man and was pale blue, like translucent. Pupils seemed extremely enlarged, and this gave them a hypnotic appearance, as in a permanent state of fear or shock, but paradoxically, they had a sleeping effect. The skin was blue and white, as in the Nordic people never in the sun. They went with great speed in the dark, majestic and elegant. They were in no ways robots. Julio meant they would not make stir if they walked the streets of Nordic countries. The craft, as soon as Julio has reached the top of the road, he had view to the machine. It was hidden behind two small hills at the bottom of a dried-out river. He had waited to see something, maybe a flying saucer, but not as large as this. To the top, he could only see the left side of the machine, the rest hidden behind on one of the hills, but it was full enough. He was extremely surprised and just stood there on the path with an open mouth, unable to move. Later, he said to Jose Antonio Campana, it was as if Karl Marx had met God. I, who had previously been so skeptical, was now 70 meters from an alien craft. When researchers eventually reconstructed the case in all the details, they discovered how smart the craft was located. It was at the bottom of a small valley in part of a wheat field and partly in another field that was fallow. Although the main road only 400 meters away low, the craft was unable to detect unauthorized access. The giant-like machine floating 4 feet above the ground, with center field to left, although the right-hand side covered the second field about 10 meters. This amazing device, perhaps 100 RTS of tons heavy, which hovered soundless and immobile. It did a very deep impression on Julio. He meant it had n.dim. 60 to 70 meters. Form assembled to discs, was like high, as a 3 or 4 floor house, 15 greater than 20 meters. Seemed to be of metal. He stirred surprised at the craft. Which sent out blinking lights in diff. Colors. Blue, red, green, yellow in a fixed frequency. The two men had continued to walk, while Julio had stopped. He ran reaching them and in below the craft, which was like a big umbrella over them. The surface was completely smooth, as cast in one piece. He smelled as of ozone. His gun was lifted, as of a magnetic field. A metal cylinder minus 2 meters dia, came down, and a door in it opened. He began reaching some fear and hesitated following them in. But he entered and saw the lift was lighted of a strange light, without any visible source. The ceiling was like of polished glass, completely white, but half transparent. His dog Musk was scared and had to be pulled in by the band. The lift rose and ended in a circular corridor with metallic walls. On the inside walls he saw metal doors which were very elegant made. Al was beautiful made, with soft corners or transitions between corridors and the walls plus roof. No sharp angles. He meant it was difficult to judge distances to the ceiling. He then was led into a check room where only one person was, who talked to him, "Be calm, nothing to be afraid of here." In the room was control panels, and it was illuminated by strange light leaving no shadow. No blending feeling. He said the lights were mysterious, almost solemn. It gave a feeling of peace, peace, and here, no way making bad thoughts. Room was car. 5 meters high and car. 15 meters wide. He noticed they walked soundless over the floor, just as the pink panther exclamation mark he said. But he heard the noise of his own stir and the dogs moving. By one of the walls was a modest, lead grey coloured panel car. 4x4m, and else some special chairs, and 3 tables. On the right side was a square curved screen. He was later told that this table was used in surgical procedures. The windows were placed around the dome with interdikes on around 1.5 meters. They were rectangular, with the long side vertical and the glass was half translucent. Through the windows he could see the surrounding landscape form and color, although the dawn light just started to break through. It was like looking through infrared lenses, according to Julio. Finally, an observation at the ends of the ladder handrails. They were curved around and down towards the floor of 180 grader. The reader, of course, have noticed the incredible details in the description. This is because what is here reproduced is a summary of a dozen hypnosis sessions, which made it possible for the illustrator Carmelo Sola and Vicente S. to create an extremely detailed reconstruction of the described by Julio. Julio is an exceptionally good observer, and that makes it a one of the best studied kidnapping case in the world. The investigation of the dog Mus had hardly had time to be released until he started walking around and sniffed on everything, control panels, chairs, etc. Julio had also noticed that the control room smelled strong of pine, a smell he liked. The UFO man seemed not to be used to animals. The longest of the three was very tense when Mouse sniffed at him as if the dog's behavior was strange to him and scared him. Julio began to fear that the dog would do some inappropriate and pulled on him. The sound of the name Mouse, attracted much attention among possessed of the men. All three turned on with a mild expression of surprise in their poker faces. The vocal conversation technology may not have been particularly alien to them, because Julio after some time discovered that they also used the speech between themselves. Perhaps it was the word mouse which made such an impression on them, as if this had any meaning in their own language or in any way familiar to them. While Julio was to overcome the shock he received at the sight of the control room, he asked where they came from. They answered by thought impressions. A sort of mental messages that they used a lot. Julio recalled 2 of these messages. The first seemed to be a combination of a 3-figure on top of a 7, and the second looked like 2 curved strokes with their backs against each other and connected with 2 straight horizontal lines. The symbol shows a certain similarity with the familiar AMO sign. When Julio continued asking where they came from, they repeated the 3,7, in square. Julio also thought he got the impression of a Greek lambda, and an up and turn Greek iota, with a horizontal line. After this conversation, they asked him to examine the dog. It is emphasized that their behavior all the time was extremely well behaved, a patient and understanding attitude. They behaved as Julio himself would do against children, or a little brother. He thought they were, therefore, to protect him and answer his questions, though he did not understand all the answers. Their attitude towards Julio bears no superiority, it seemed just like they knew everything. By telepathy they asked him to examine the dog. They wanted to have blood tests on him. Julio accepted immediately, convinced that they would not harm the animal. They then went all together to the operation table and the longest of them held Mouse, and by adding the arm under the dog, he lifted him up on the table. His behavior was professional, with quick sure movements. The scared Mouse made no resistance. He stood there motionless on the other side of the screen. Julio thought they examined him by the black screen, but he did not see any on it. After having put the dog first on one side and then on the other, they moved him to the middle of the table. With a syringe, then took blood samples from one of the paws with outstanding precision. The syringe appeared to be made of metal, it was at least leaden in color. It was narrow and not very long and with a capacity of about 10 cc. The thin needle was made in one piece with the rest of the syringe. Alongside were two rings of the fingers and in the spirit a ring thumb. Generally speaking, the syringe was completely normal. What surprised Julio was how easy it is found the vein. They laid it back in the syringe in a gray-black metal cylinder, which he took from the back of the table then said the telepathic of July because you are here, let us look at yours too. This perceived Julio as if their main interest was actually the dog. They led now Julio behind the screen and after a few minutes he got the impression that it was clear so did the smallest, him with the control table in the middle of the room. Control board the main crewman, which undoubtedly was the one that had to take care of Julio, gave him an order, sit down, and pointed to the chairs at the control table. He obeyed but extreme caution for fear of the unlikely chair to collapse, but did not rock when he sat down. The Etman sat in the chair to the right of him. Above them was the large control table Julio, and he now had the opportunity to examine in detail. Once he accepted, his partner started the work. For Julio's surprise he gave up the left arm and saw a number of silver buttons, the ET's fingers in these and the chair began to turn in the track in the floor. The chairs were high, about 1.5 meters. They were in the same plastic or imitation leather as tables and felt very comfortable when he fell down in them. They were just moderately soft. Backs on the chairs was formed as the ornamental Spanish women's chamber of turtle shell. The back continued up behind your head, turned around and surrounded the person sitting in the chair on both sides. Armrests similar to those found on some cinemas, with rounded corners. Even if the seats were conical in shape, the seat was square and about 60 centimeters wide. Julio's feet reached the floor when he was furthest out on the edge of the chair. His companion sat with their backs against the back support, and yet reached the hands to the control panel without difficulty. He handled the controls with a speed and safety, which was amazing, and he did it without looking at hands. He got Julio thinking of the first-class typist. The speed and accuracy with which his long fingers played with the keys back and forth without touching the palm of the hand. Sometimes he swung around in the chair. Sometimes he was away from the table and watched the instruments. The whole event spellbound Julio. The height of the control table in the middle of the room was about 1.5 meters and length between 2.5 and 3 meters. At the front was a meter deep out balance, and it was on this part that all the controls, buttons, sensors and indicators was. Levers were black and very elegantly designed and completed in nickel handle up and underneath the pyramid form. There were 9 levers that sat in 3 rows on each side. Above them were on each side 9 up and down tapered red button or sensors with an inward bend in the middle. Autopilots were half round, about 2 centimeters in diameter and blinking all the time, and they change color according to a certain pattern. The men on the big screen while all this was ongoing Julio had a firm grip on Mouse's necklace. The dog sat on his left. Mouse were Julio's only contact, in this context, with the normal. It gave him a sense of calm to have the dog at his side. His rifle was leaning against the right-hand armrest. Suddenly there was a short whistling sound throughout the room, which started action to the crew. The longest of the three, which until now had been in the vicinity of the operation table, went and sat in front of the control tables, and all three looked concentrated on the screens in front of them. The whistling sound, like light, seemed to come from across the room. After a short showing, screens began becoming white, and finally formed an image on the screens, similar to obsessive men, but older. Suddenly they started talk among themselves, and at the same time, he noticed how telepathic relationship with him ended. The conversation was brief and lasted 2 or 3 minutes. First talked the man on the screens. The other listened very carefully, almost without blinking. It was clear that they had to do with a chief command. First only he spoke. Then he spoke with a man next to Julio, who apparently was number one in the command room. The other two took only a minor part in the call. The men on the screen appeared to be 60 years or older. He had easy marked features. The language they used sounded ugly and repulsive to Julio. When he would describe how it sounded, he resembled a mixture of German and Chinese. Later on, when researchers put Julio listening to bands with different languages, he said it most resembled Korean. He said it resembled German because of its harsh and guttural and Chinese characteristics to the words hold single consonants. They seemed to spit out the words and some sound lazy as coughing. The modulation did not figure. The words sounded as if they came directly from the stomach, which Oriental war cry. It sounded as if not the vocal cords was used but the words came directly from the stomach. Moreover, they seem to have problems with the throat of any kind, another detail that resembles Umo case. They had difficulty to start each new phrase, and occasionally gave a small cry, as if they were being suffocated. Among the words that Julio could recall during hypnosis, there were many hard consonants K-R, F, P-N that all was bright. There were also many vowels and diphthong as O or Aku sounded like Dogyep, when they spoke. They spoke monotonous, hard and uncomfortable. Suddenly the image of the chief person disappeared from the screen, which again became clear. Then resumed the telepathic contact with Julio. After the head disappeared, it was hectic activity in the control room, and they pressed the buttons. Men by Julio seemed to lead. It was clear that there was a strong team spirit between them. It was at this stage in the course of events as the central platform began to rotate, counterclockwise, and suddenly stopped, when the control panel was in line with the computer. Since returning the platform to his X-reaching position, now heard Julio enhanced whistling sound inside his head. From this point of the event, process, is a large gap in memory that did not come back until much later. As with so many witnesses in kidnapping cases, the problem here with Julio which is memory loosing, a barrier that does not even go to cross with hypnosis. Here we encounter a powerful mental blocking, perhaps developed to protect the person from an experience that might otherwise be too traumatic for him. This totally invisible area in Julio's memory seems to have included a complete physiological examination of him, when they took samples of various kinds, and perhaps traveling in orbit around the Earth. When Julio was listening to bands from the hypnosis session afterwards, awoke his subconscious. But the task of gradually forcing the traumatic experiences to the surface must be approached with caution, and it was forced to cancel tests each time the pulse rose to 120 BPM. Rifle and ammunition. The head came back on screen once again, after the whistle previously tolled. This time, Julio stated that he looked to be 65 years old with our measurements, while no one seemed to be more than 35-40 years. After the boss's second appearance on the screen, regained Julio again the telepathic contact. The man at his side asked him about the rifle and wanted to know what it was. Julio began to explain to him and he called on the others. All four were on the left side of the control table in the middle. Then they started to ask him, "What is that?" He replied that it was a gun to hunt animals. "Hunting because you have to?" "No, because it amuses me," he replied. At this, the longest of the three made an almost invisible gesture, as if to say the savage. Then asked to examine the rifle. They let it wander between them, looked at it with great curiosity and shared a few observations could be interpreted as, "Look here, what strange things they are doing here." Not for a moment, Julio got the feeling that they were going to take the gun away from him. He was always aware that they were good people. Before he gave them the gun, he had taken out the cartridges, simply because he did not want them to accidentally shoot themselves, and they became really interested when they saw the cartridges fall down on the floor. He explained to them that this was his balls and open up to a cartridge to show the content. They asked to keep it. Julio had used the knife to open the cartridge. At first he had, however, difficult to find the knife. It turned out that it moved into the wrong pocket. It was obvious that they already had it out to examine it or had fallen out. Then Julio suddenly became very craving to smoking, and he picked up a cigarette. He smokes a lot and had not had a cigarette in 2 hours. When he looked for the knife, he felt the cigarette package and smoking lust woke up. It is clear that he was unaware of how much has happened to him. When Jose Antonio Campana asked Julio, under hypnosis, where he had had the ash of the cigarette, Julio told, he simply had it on the floor, and no one seemed to have nothing against it. While he smoked, they asked if they could have a cigarette for purpose of study. They had one and put it in the same cylinder cartridge. Julio invited also the tallest of the men a cigarette, but he refused with a gesture that seemed to imply that he would not draw such in their lungs. Then they began to question Julio on how our society works. He told that there were two ideological blocks and told of the government and parliament. He was surprised that so well-informed people asking such simple questions. They knew otherwise apparently most honest. By this time began his admiration for those sank somewhat, and some suspect activity smog on him. He did not know if they drove with him or what they were after. They must have sensed that he was getting scared, because after this little conversation, they said, very kindly to him that he could leave the craft. He took care of the dog, the rifle on his shoulder and climbed down the ladder. It was harder to come down than up. He went through the craft together with the crew members who always accompanied him. They both walked together down the corridor to the elevator, where they said goodbye to each other. Julio had been expected that the men would follow him right out to the field. Later, he knew why he had not done it, because outside it was already daylight and apparently they were irritated by the light. Craft's departure, Julio stepped into the elevator, the door was shut and he and Mouse went down. After a few seconds, the elevator stopped, metal door opened and he found himself outside in the bright backlight. He took himself back to the car and found that the dog was already there waiting for him. The dog had run out of the lift at full speed. Julio sat in the car and tried to calm down after a tumultuous experience. He tested the engine and it started without problems. The lights and radio worked well. Then he decided that everything must have been a dream. Probably I came only this far and then fell asleep, he thought to himself. Yet he remembered the incident as if it were true, even for extremely sharpness. He thought for a moment, returned to see if the craft had left, but was too scared to do it. For if the craft was not there, he could believe he was going crazy. But on the other hand, if it was still there, maybe they would take him again. So he decided to stay in the car. He believes that he stayed there until around noon. He hit the car radio and waited. If that thing was still left behind the hill, it must sooner or later leave. Finally, when nothing happened, he started the engine and set off against Madrid. He drove slowly around 1300 hours. He stopped at the left side of the road. He thinks it was a few miles outside Trimarca del Campo in the province of Guadalajara. He needed time to think, so he took his rifle and went for a walk with Mouse. After a while he became hungry and when he was looking for the cartridge, he discovered that he had only 3 left in pocket instead of 5. He missed the 2 that he had given away inside the UFO. Excited, he called the dog and examined the paw, where they stabbed him with a syringe. And what he saw was blood in his veins, for there were typical marks of a needle stuck in to take blood samples. So all this had really happened. After that he did everything to try to forget the incident. He began searching for suitable hunting prey, perhaps as a kind of defense mechanism. Upset as he was, he made an end to almost all ammunition and returned home with a dozen quail. However, this was not the end of Julio's close contact. It had not stopped the car, which the investigators believed first. In February 1980 they discovered, Dr. Jesus Duran, during a hypno session by chance that, contrary to what Julio himself believed, he had returned to the craft, and probably made a new issue with the creatures. But at the end of this round of hypnosis Julio suddenly reached a new stage, where he made vehement opposition, and since then it has been impossible to get him to share additional details.